Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Stargirl Squadcast. I'm Cameron.
I'm Tam.
And today, Adiva is missing. We don't actually know what happened to her. We lost communication with her.
I think the episode just went... It was so powerful, it knocked her out.
I think she died with the gambler, actually.
Oh, no. Season 4 mystery, what happened to Adiva?
Well, that's actually, no, this is going to be a 4D chess podcast. So Tam and I have to figure out who killed Adiva while the JSA tries to figure out who killed the gambler. So
that's
you're
right.
Welcome. We're doing only murders in the building, but real. Anyway, so episode 1 of Frenemies just dropped a few hours ago. We're filming this probably later than you might think. We're filming this at like 12:30 a.m. But we've
Indeed
watched
we
the
are.
Episode twice, so we are pretty caught up in a lot of it. We should clarify, this is kind of a new era of the Squadcast. So the first episodes that you watched are probably all, well, they definitely are all super, super ridiculously long, you know, whatever, where we're talking about, oh, this character moment and that character moment and greater story arcs. None of that. There might be a little bit of speculation here. I'm sure there's going to be speculation here and there for this newer era of the podcast, but it's mostly going to be like, so this happened, and what do we think this Easter egg is, and et cetera, because we don't know. We're, like we said in the last episode, I think presumably at some point in time, we have no idea what happens after this. We have behind the scenes details. So like, for example, we know that in 303, there's like a grocery store fight, but we have no idea any of the details really beyond that, because beyond like Starman versus Sportsmaster and Tigress. So yeah, no, it's gonna be a super exciting new era for us.
I guess,
and
one thing to note, it means that we can totally and very well likely may get things wrong, because we're watching it along with you, and we can't really be like, oh yes, and this is going to reference this that's happening in X episode, because we don't know.
We're gonna make some wild claims here. You're gonna roll with it. You're gonna be like, that's a choice. If you've seen this, if you've seen the season all the way through, and we're wrong, no, we're not. We're not wrong.
we're know exactly just what we're talking
too
about.
Too big brained for you to possibly understand.
We're going to be confident like Cindy at the cafeteria table and be like, oh, we're right and we belong here and we're saying true things.
We've earned our spot at the table.
We did.
So anyway, they are keeping flashbacks going into the season, minute detail, but whatever. But the real bulk of the episode obviously starts with that little opening montage, and I really thought that they were going to burst into song.
I was terrified
that they were going to burst into song.
I wouldn't mind that.
Just the way that Zeke got out of the car, it looked like to me
morning.
He was about to, oh my god.
Good morning, Blue Valley.
But also, actually, I'm totally wrong, because even before that, we have that opening with the gambler voiceover over setting the scene, and it's all dark and there's like smoke that's just popping out, which probably isn't smoke, it's probably like Todd or the shade or whatever. It's not actually smoke, but you know, it looked like smoke. So that was very fun. I love how camp it was.
And that's the murder, and they're telling the story together from the very beginning. I'm telling you.
Wow, big brain moment.
This is the story of how a young boy killed me in the middle of the night.
Oh, wow. Keep going. But yeah, so that opening montage has a couple things. We have Jakeem in there for 2 seconds, where he gives the Shade a newspaper. We see that the Shade is still living in the Zarex old house. The Thunderbolt is there with new voice Seth Green. Sounds pretty good, honestly. You can't really tell it's that big of a difference from Jimmy Gaffigan. Like, I mean, you can tell that it's different, but I mean, like, he's doing a good, somewhat Jim Gaffigan impression, if that makes sense.
It's
like,
really
he's definitely
good.
Not
it's
doing a Jim Gaffigan impression, but he's doing an impression of Jim Gaffigan as the Thunderbolt.
And I immediately like him. Like, a little bit, like, he was kind of annoying, the Thunderbolt, a little bit last season, but just from this one, like, interaction, like, I like him so much better. I don't know
I
why
mean, I
it
don't want to
is.
dunk on Jim Gaffigan because I do
No, no,
like
no,
Jim
no, no. I
Gaffigan in
don't mean that.
general, but
I'm saying that I am enjoying the Thunderbolt as a character, and the words, like, what they chose his line to be, like, I found him, like, hysterical. And I'm saying that just the choice of how they used him there was an immediate click for me. Like, I enjoyed it.
So we get Beth, who is waking up. Her parents are already being super overbearing. They're trying to get her to, at that point, like choose fabric amongst numerous other things. So that's clearly setting up that that's going to be an issue later on down the line. Then we cut to Rick. So development for Rick. Rick is doing two things. Number one is he's burying and unburying and reburying Grundy. So he's presumably been doing this for I don't know how many months. It's not exactly clear how long the time skip is because it's not the first day of school that Courtney comes back to. Like, it looks like they've been established in school for a decent time, but clearly she's just come from vacation, so I don't exactly know what the timeline is. But presumably at least a month or two. But so Rick has been trying in all that time to get Grundy to come back. He also has been trying to fix the hourglass. The hourglass is working differently than I expected. I thought it was going to be an all or nothing situation, but it's not. He's
Right.
earning back the time of the hourglass.
That's
So
fun.
he currently.
It's like he has to earn that hour.
I do like it. It also could lead to an addiction storyline where if he gets it above an hour, but I will
It
note.
kind of reminds me of, like, what's it called? Those games you get at a carnival where you, like, the strong bolt, like, thing where you have a hammer and it goes ding and you try to get it up to a
Oh,
certain level. Like,
I know
that's,
what you're talking about,
this
like the
kind of seems
strongman
like,
thing, yeah.
yeah, the strong, which is kind of like, that's, it kind of makes sense to me. I don't know why my mind went there, but, like, he was desperately trying to get it above, like, an hour, and then he goes, whoa, and he shoots way above an hour, and then he has to deal with that.
But so we do see that he's gotten his strength up for 33 minutes. Now, I'm going to disclaimer. If this was just said, if you just listened to the Stargirl After Show and they said this on the Stargirl After Show, I didn't listen yet. So I don't know
Yeah,
if that
we
is
don't know.
actually something. I cannot emphasize enough that when we were rewatching this, I saw 33 and I was like, that means something. So I went back and I did my research in literally like the 5 seconds between the episode airing and rewatching it. And so Rick's first appearance in Geoff Johns's run of the JSA Volume 2 is in issue number 33, which is fun. But I think more importantly than just issue number 33, issue number 33 of that run is not the prologue, but it's the first official sequence of the Stealing Thunder storyline, which is a. The Ultra Humanite basically tricks Jakeem into giving him the Thunderbolt, and he creates this reality where basically most metahumans or superheroes or whatever are either controlled by the Ultra Humanite or are frozen in like this big freezer brain thingy, like cryogenetically, whatever. There's like a little underground network of heroes in the JSA, which is where Rick gets involved. He's in that network already. But more importantly, that is the big storyline, presumably the biggest storyline where Icicle Jr. gets to play hero. So he's a good guy in that storyline, and basically only that storyline. But. So it's fun because that's playing on the frenemies theme too, as well, in which, he's clearly a frenemy in that, and frenemies are all over the place for here. So I noticed that, and I thought that was neat. And then once the Stealing Thunder storyline happens, Rick is just retconned into being in the JSA, and it's kind of fun. But that was my little tangent for that. But going after that, Yolanda at church.
She has friends.
She does. Dorothy. I guess. I don't know if that's I don't know enough about Yolanda, and I don't have a whole lot of Infinity Inc. stuff, so I
No, I
can't.
mean, she was just, for the most part, from what I've read with Infinity Inc., it's very different. It's not like, I don't know of Yolanda's, I don't remember any friends of Yolanda. She was pretty independent in the way that she was just doing things by herself.
Okay.
So, yeah,
But
and
she
then
does have friends.
she has friends here, which is nice
She.
because it's good for her. It means that her parents
She's.
didn't let her go back.
Yes, just, I mean, she's at church, is the big thing. So there's been that development. But she responds to the JSA group chat with emojis, of
Of
course.
course she
Of
does.
course, with emojis. It would be silly to think that she wouldn't. And notices Cindy crossing the street. Cindy notices an old lady. He's like, I'm gonna help this old lady cross the street. You know, from the trailer, nothing major, but you see that she is trying. And I don't, she didn't know that Yolanda was watching her. So I think it is to her credit that she just was like, I should be good now. Like, I do like that. But following that, we get the Crocs jogging. Very important to note. Artemis is an honor student.
Oh,
Okay?
yes.
It's really important to me that the Crocs are the proud parents of a prairie dog honor student.
Which I didn't know. Like, I'm a little bit not surprised, but I appreciate that they told us this fact.
Then that's where I believe we get the Warner Brothers Presents, but if not the Warner Brothers Presents, we definitely get the Chapter One, The Murder with the underline.
With the
And
chalk underlined
I'm gonna be
underneath it.
honest, I wasn't feeling the title names that they dropped for a while. Like, I didn't get it. I was disappointed that they weren't gonna be like, season one didn't have the best titles because they were just character names. Obviously it's better than season two, but I was a little bit disappointed that it was just like the blank. But I kind of like it. It kind of works in the in this capacity alone, in that it's so absurdly
It got me
campy.
so riled up. I was
Oh
so
yeah.
excited.
I was like, this is gonna be so good. But anyway, Whitmore Dugans come back to town. They're all in their matching Yellowstone shirts, and Sylvester is already there. Sylvester has fixed up the house, which nobody asked him to do. He's created, we find out, a little area for Cosmo that's all tricked out.
With what money did he do that?
He has trust fund money. What do you mean, what money? He's rich. He rich derogatory. Bring it
Oh,
back.
I thought. I guess not. Okay, then. Makes sense.
It automatically makes me not
Oh,
trust Sylvester. I mean, I was
yeah.
going into this not trusting Sylvester, so I might be a little biased.
Oh, I
But
wasn't trusting
like,
him either before.
it's very suspicious that he is going around just doing these good deeds. Like, I'm more suspicious about him doing good deeds than literally any of the supervillains doing good deeds.
Okay, well, for me, it's specifically the fact that he's keeping tabs on Courtney when you see the newspapers, because it actually one of the newspapers references the tie-in comic and like one of the rescue missions that they do when they're at Yellowstone. But specifically, on one side, Sylvester keeping tabs on Courtney as Stargirl and the little rescue missions that she pulled across the country could be a nice innocent thing of being like, wow, I'm so amazed by how heroic and amazing this little girl is. Like, she gets to have that staff, of course. But on the other hand, it could be creepy and he could be watching her being like, I gotta make sure I'm on my toes and making sure that this girl doesn't do anything. And it could be out of concern because she's holding up his legacy. But it could also be actually a shady thing.
What I will say is that I do think that it's interesting. So we know that Sylvester was out and about as Starman or the Star Spangled Kid when he was in his tenure. I don't know why I said tenure like that, but Courtney's not. She's not showing herself. Now, granted, she probably didn't bring the suit with her on vacation, but there's no Star Girl or even speculation that it's Starman again. It's just this big glow has saved the pizza place from a burglar or whatever. So I think that's interesting that she's still not public in any capacity. Courtney is obviously super nervous that she's going to be replaced, or not necessarily replaced, but that Starman is going to take back the staff. This is a storyline that I'm going to need a little bit more to be super invested in. It is not my number one.
You mean just the concept of the staff going back and forth?
No, I like it from the staff's perspective, but Courtney and Sylvester clashing, I think I'm really not that invested in Sylvester. So
all of the behind the scenes and cast interviews and the reviews said that their dynamic is really what elevates the season. So I don't know. I don't hate him. Like, I actually like him a lot better than I thought that I would.
I would agree. I'm just saying that of all the storyline threads that we have, like, going in succession of the end of season two, if you were like, what is your ranking of these storylines? Sylvester, nowhere near the top.
Sylvester, probably, you gotta get a job. Just that in general is like, okay.
I'm fine with him being there. I'm fine with him training Courtney. I'm fine with presumably him sowing a little chaos into the JSA once Courtney goes and does her own thing, as we know from descriptions that have dropped since our last episode. But I'm a little weary of it, I guess, is what my point is. Because I feel like that was the only parts of the episode where rewatching it, I was like, okay, I'm a little bored of this already. The rest of it, I was like, oh, I love it. But that specifically, I was like,
Yeah, but is that because we saw the clip already? Because they dropped it?
I only watched that clip once. I purposely only watched it once.
Okay.
I also kind of felt that with the scene later with the staff in between them. I like the cinematography of that a lot, but the actual content of that scene, I was not as invested in as other parts of this episode. But moving on from that, the Crocs are outside, they're mowing their lawn, and Pat says hi to them. Courtney and Pat won't go inside. Pat immediately locks the door, and Courtney calls him out for doing a very common homeowner activity.
First thing
I do when I get home, you lock that door. I don't know who doesn't do that.
Not a thing. Courtney is so crazy. Apparently, and this is as a Canadian, apparently people in rural, I'm not making fun of people living in certain places, but as a Canadian, I've heard it be a stereotype that some places in America, and maybe probably also Canada, in like really quote-unquote nice, like suburban neighborhoods, people would unlock their doors, which is so weird to me. Well, like,
in my suburb, where my parents live,
what about
we keep the door unlocked if there's a kid that's gone out. There's a kid, myself or my brother go out, then like, and we know that we're out, that door will stay unlocked just in case we lose the key or whatever, we didn't bring a key and we need to get back inside the house, we do that. Or, like, my dad goes pretty freely outside to, like, mow the lawn or whatever. We'll keep the door unlocked then. But before the people are downstairs, like, if we're not on the main floor, like, that door stays locked for the most part. But, yeah, this is way too long of a lock interlude. But it's important to Courtney is so...
She's just crazy chaotic.
Up in arms about it.
I love that, though. That's what makes Courtney a little bit ridiculous. More than a little bit ridiculous. She's a child who doesn't understand how adult things work.
But so the gambler comes back. I guess, we didn't actually mention that. The gambler was in the opening montage and he picks up litter to show that he's reformed, that he's changed, which I love as just
because
a silly little thing.
Because in season one, he got yelled at by Tigers and Sportsmaster for littering. And so now we have to know that he's turned a new page in his life. A new chapter has begun because he's picking up litter off the ground. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. He's so good. And he has come here to make amends.
But you can't do that this whole time.
Won't, man.
But so he shows up, which I was unaware that the gambler knew where they live. I mean, I guess it's pretty easy for him to figure out where they live. Yeah, I just that specifically was shocking. That was the only part of this that I was shocked about. Like, I definitely knew he was the one that was gonna get murdered. I definitely knew that he was gonna, you know, like, come back and, like, make amends with them or whatever, like, try to.
Yeah,
I just assumed that it was going to be at the American Dream, and I was very wrong.
That was so wrong. It's straight up out there. But what kind of crazy person literally walks right up into the house and says, "Hello, I am here to make amends." Like, no, what you would do is, like, you'd call the house, leave a long voicemail, at least have them hear it, and then you show up at the house and be like, "Well, I left a voicemail, but no one replied." You know?
Theory that I'm not fully attached to. Maybe this one's, there's no way that this is true. I'm absolutely not. But maybe he himself is a red herring that was sent to by Mr. Bones and the Helix Ooh. Institute, and there is no murder because he's not real.
You know, that could be true, and
I don't think it's true, but
it could be. It could be. The Shades, like, you have no daughters, so I mean.
Well, speaking of daughter, he mentions as the reason why he is overturning a new leaf is because he does have a daughter, Becky Sharp, who was featured in The Flash. Hazard.
They had okay, so Becky showed up in season 4, "Luck Be a Lady," which is one of the funniest episodes actually of The Flash.
She's encyclopedic, reciting it. I did know the name of that episode, but that's...
And she's hilarious. And so her powers are specifically... That's fine. You can. The Flash is my show, so I do have an encyclopedia in my brain for The Flash. But basically, Becky's powers are... In the comics, the gambler is a grandfather, so they've changed it a little bit. But her powers is basically probability manipulation when it comes to gambling and getting things that she wants. So she just always has a good chance of getting things to happen in her favor, as opposed to everyone else that will have a bad time. She actually first showed up in Infinity Inc. with Artemis. I have that comic. Like, I remember opening it and being like, I know them! I know her! It's Hazard from The Flash. It's not from The Flash. She's actually from this issue. That's what she's from. But yeah, it was fun. So maybe we'll see her one day.
We might see her. She might be a teenager. We don't actually know how old she is.
Yeah, we don't know
specify.
How old she is.
They just specify that she was adopted at some point. He also calls her Becky, despite all her records calling her Rebecca.
That's
which is
because
fun,
you
whatever.
Can't have two sad Rebecca stories in a row on this show. There is a parallel universe.
You're right.
I told you this. You didn't hear me when I said this. I said there's a parallel universe where ISA and JSA, Rebecca's, were fighting, and they were like mortal enemies because there's a good Rebecca.
Just
because
they shared the same
Rebecca
name?
Because they share the same name, and their parents are both on opposite sides. So obviously, there's got to be two Rebeccas. Just
Nega
like
Cameron, checkmate. Come meet me outside my house. 3 a.m. Let's go. Following morning, Pat wakes up, and Sportsmaster Crusher is in his kitchen. Which is
at
incredible.
At 5:30 in the morning.
Love it. I love it. I love the Crocs so much. They're in this just the right amount. Because I will say, if it's going to be Croc City all the time, I feel like they're gonna
maybe
overstay their yeah. The Crocs are fun because they're crazy sitcom characters that exist on the show. Like, they don't belong on the show, but they work so well.
In an interview with Breck, and she said, not to quote her, but I'm quoting her, that apparently they weren't supposed to stay beyond season one, but they were so fun. I said, I'm not going to quote her because she said, don't quote me. So, like, I know she thinks, she's not sure. But if that was true in the sense that, they thought, just like the most of the ISA, they just showed up for season one and then they all kind of, like, died or disappeared. And they just wanted to keep them because they're just so fun. That's such a strong, smart move because they are that fun. And they also, so Larry mentions that Ripped City has a great reopening. And we know that's going to be a plot point just based on the fact that we've seen in trailers for the Crocs that there's some, probably no one's showing up because people are going to probably know to an extent that they're criminals. So I don't think anyone's going to be showing up to that gym, and I think they're going to have financial situations. From
I would agree from the little featurette that
the
we
little
got that it
featurette,
looked like
yeah.
nobody was there because yeah, they do have a reputation. But yeah, no. And then that is when Pat is like, yeah, this is why we lock our house. But does literally anybody at all not lock their house at night?
Apparently in Blue Valley, Nebraska, it's so
Like
nice.
at all?
They should have that
Like
on that
even if
sign because there's a new sign that says "Welcome to Blue Valley," and one of the stickers should be like, "You don't have to lock your house."
But yes, so then we cut over to the diner where the shade is with Maria, the waitress, who is trying to fix tea to his liking.
What tea
He
do you
she's
think he's
failing,
drinking?
but it's okay.
English breakfast?
I don't know. I don't know any
Well.
teas except
Oh, I
green
love
tea.
tea. I don't drink green tea. I only
Iced tea.
drink black
That's a
tea.
joke.
But I'm going to guess it's English breakfast because, of course, that would be very on the nose for the shade that it's English breakfast tea. Right?
I don't know. I don't
He
know
asked,
any
he
teas.
said that orange pekoe was gross and disgusting. So I'm guessing it has to be some other blend. That's fine. This is just my tea interlude. And because I listened to your
Tam starts with a
lock
T.
interlude, I love tea. I
No, I know.
adore
That's why I said
tea.
because
Yes,
Tam
and people
starts with
call
a
me tea
T.
because, I mean, it's not
I mean,
because.
they call you T because your name starts with a T.
But it's also because I drink so much tea. That's why. I'm always making tea. It's true. No, it's not true. No, I'm sure it is true if you ask someone I know. I mean, I literally got a tea for my birthday because people were like, "You're a tea," and I'm like, "Yes, I am," and then it was gone in like 48 hours because I love tea. Anyways, so I'm kind of like the shade, I guess, but I would never be that picky. Like I just, but they're nice about it, so you can tell they're friendly, which
They're
is
being very
fun.
pleasant about it.
Yeah.
But yes, so the gambler walks in and the shade is having none of it. There's clearly some unresolved tension that we are probably just not
Because
going to
there
explore.
can only be one ISA member with such a, I don't know what adjective to use, but such a specific accent. There can only be one.
Only
So that
one,
only one
only
posh
one,
character can be
only one.
allowed. Only one posh character. So that's why the shade was like, my posh trumps your posh, so you've got to go. It's the way that he's like, "Do you mind if I sit?" He goes, "Yes, I mind.
I
Thank
did
you."
appreciate that.
Yes.
Also, I'm gonna note, I sound like I'm bored. I promise you I'm not bored. I'm just trying to be quiet because I have a roommate that I do not want to wake up. So the shade then threatens the gambler by making his eyes go all spooky and dark and black and Halloween monster-y. I love a good Halloween monster.
And we learn about the fact that the gambler drained all of the shade's money after the ISA JSA fight because he assumed that he had
Yes.
died. So there's an actual quote unquote motive, if you would, if you
Sure.
will, if we're going to
Sure.
ta start with that. And not that I think that's whatever happened.
No,
I
there's
don't
no
think that's what
way.
happened. But I'm
But
just
yeah.
saying that's definitely an angle that the kids could explore in the future if they find this out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the shade's probably going to be one of the first red herrings that they go to.
Well, because the shades is in the promo and he's part of the next episode, so I guess they're going to
Right.
go,
It's
"Oh,
gonna go
who's an ISA
shade.
member who still has double crossed us before? Oh, the shade did, even though he's kind of friends, he is also kind of not, so let's go and attack him."
Dare we say frenemies?
Right. The shade's convinced that the gambler doesn't have a daughter, which is interesting because I don't know, I feel
I
like.
think the gambler just must be known to lie.
Yeah.
So the shade stops his threat. He wipes his eye of his shade goo and his hand comes off with like this green little spark thing, which I can only imagine has something to do with Jenny. Like, there's no way that it doesn't have anything to do with Jenny.
Okay, so I wanted to say you think it's Jenny, but I think it's Todd. Although I think we can both agree it's one of the two of them. We think, at
Yes.
least, because
Yes.
my reasoning for that is because we know that Todd has very similar powers to the Shade, and he is also still the son of Green Lantern as well. So maybe they have the similar green spark, even if they're
I'm not
not
gonna knock it
exactly the
out.
same.
I'm not gonna knock it out entirely because I'm sure they're gonna differentiate between Shade and Obsidian powers when we get to that part of the season. Like, I'm sure that there's going to
Yeah,
be
we're gonna probably
slight
have different
differences
mist, right?
in the
Like,
effects.
yeah, that's what I
So
think so.
I'm not gonna say that it's completely not, but I viewed that more as Jenny is trying to do something to either locate her brother or she's fighting her brother or something like that, and it
Right,
was
that
just
could be
happening to be
true as well.
happening at the same time. And that's why that happened,
Or
because
it could be.
Obsidian was pulling away from the Shade's power. I also my big prediction regarding the Shade and Obsidian is that Obsidian is using up the Shade's Shadowland power. Like, he has a limited amount now that he's been dead, quote unquote, and
Oh yeah, I think the
risen.
Shade's dying.
Yeah,
I
I
think
think that
he's
he's
gonna
going to be dead
die
by the end
because
of
I think
the
he's going to
season.
let it happen. I think he's going to see Todd
He'll be fine with it, yeah.
and be like, you know what, that's okay. I'm tired, especially because of the interview with Jonathan Cake kept mentioning how tired and bored he was with his life, kind of being immortal. So I can imagine that, like, maybe, you know, there's some sort of acceptance of like, okay, I've had my run. Goodbye. And then, like, Todd becomes the new, quote unquote, the Shade-like character. But regardless of that, like, similarly to like what you were saying, I feel that maybe Jade was locating Todd, and then it accidentally pinged to the Shade, not to Todd, because the Shade was more powerful in that moment since he was the one actually using, you know, his powers, like, just recently. So.
So we then get to classic,
Oh,
classic cafeteria lunch scene. I will say
absolutely.
there's no fight that gets broken up. Well, there's a fight, but there's no principal that is dragging somebody away to their office. So
But it's coming. We know it's coming
we
because
know,
we know they're going to be in the cafeteria so many more
oh, we
times.
know. The
Every time that they're
cafeteria
going to have a
scenes.
cafeteria scene this season, I'm going to be cheering. I'm going to be like, yes, give me more, give me
They're
more.
great. They're
It's
great.
always been great in the cafeteria, and the lighting is
And
amazing
there's
too.
not been a lot recently because obviously they were in summer school for half of the season.
It's just better. It's just it just
Well,
enlivens
it
it.
feels better when they're in a high school
School.
environment.
Absolutely, 'cause they're
I think
kids and
it's, yeah.
it really enhances the fact that they're just a bunch of losers
Not to pull a
as
Gotham City as a character in Batman, but Blue Valley High School is a character in Stargirl. And I think that's slept upon.
So we start with Courtney and Yolanda walking to the table. Beth's already there and she's talking with her parents. But before we get to what Beth actually says, we have Yolanda talking about how she already has enough problems with her parents. She doesn't want Cindy to be complicating things with joining the JSA, which is absolutely valid. We all know the trauma that has gone through Yolanda's life because of this girl. It makes absolute total sense that she would be upset, especially as we learn soon they actually voted on this, right? So clearly Courtney's vote, I guess, like, vetoes the others, I don't know, which is interesting to say the least in terms of friendship dynamics. But before, I'm going to rewind a little bit, and Yolanda literally says, if I sneak out of my house one more time, my parents might be sending me to boarding school, because that is such a. I was thinking all summer long, and Cam will nod her head because she knows it's true, that I was thinking,
I
what
am nodding my head,
happens
yes.
if I said, who. Okay, in my brain, if you're gonna have a plot where you have this boarding school that's not too great, it's kind of shady, and you have a cast full of kids, one of these kids is going to be sent to that school. Like, I'm like 99% sure, and I was like, it's gonna be Yolanda. I was like, I'm sure it's going to be Yolanda, and her parents are gonna be thinking they're doing the right thing. It's actually a terrible thing, but they don't really know because no one's gonna know that, like, that boarding school is literally, like, probably very bad, I'm guessing, right? So, that said, when she actually said that, I literally screamed when we watched it because I missed it the first time, but then I heard it the second time, and I was like, yes. I think that's foreshadowing. And we always know that in the first episode, they usually really do just drop a bomb of what's going to happen in like
They
episode like 8, 9, or 10.
Well, they'll give a throwaway line, like the
Yeah, well,
probably
that's the
most famous
throwaway line.
example
Oh,
is
my
my
parents are
dad's
gonna
gonna
send me to
kill
boarding
me.
school. It's around the same vibe of, oh, my dad's gonna kill me. Yeah, so I think it's
So
so
it's very
yeah.
possible.
And then we have Beth talking with her parents. And you have her going, "No, black and yellow are Rick's colors." And I have an Annan on Tumblr that I really have to thank because they just literally just got it. That said, when Beth says that, the camera cuts to Courtney and she nudges and kind of gives Yolanda a little look. And I did not notice that, but it did happen. So that's an Our Night crumb that Courtney and Yolanda
I didn't
are
see that,
total. Yeah, I
but
didn't see
okay.
that, but I just looked at it again and it is true. It's very subtle, but it did happen. So Courtney and Yolanda know. So that I'm excited with that because I hope the season's all about Yolanda third wheeling Our Night. But moving along, that was a nice Our Night crumb that Beth was like, I don't want to steal his look. I have my own look. And they're definitely having a role reversal moment because it used to be Beth was calling them at lunch and she was annoying them because they were trying to do work, and now she's trying to have lunch with her friends and her parents are calling her nonstop. So it certainly has changed the dynamic.
The biggest reaction that I got out of this episode, I mean, there was numerous times where I was like laughing and reacting as humans are known to do. But the biggest thing that I did was when I saw Beth's costume from the comics,
Yeah,
like
I
it straight up was
gasped
just
too.
Infinity Ink Beth. I literally screamed. I was like,
Here it is. Yeah.
you know how you scream, but yeah, no, that was a really fun Easter egg. I really liked that. I don't think, judging from how this went, and especially judging from the fact that they wanted to change her code name to like Laser Lemon or something like
Oh,
that,
yeah.
I don't think that there's any universe where we actually do get to see this suit. However,
No.
comma, I do appreciate that they put it in there. It's a
Well,
fun little nod. I appreciate it.
I now have a moral dilemma because, as I mentioned in the last episode, I was never thinking that Beth was actually getting a suit. Not because I didn't think she should get one, but because, I mean, A, I was pretty sure that was, just an Easter egg. That's kind of all it was. And as we see now, it kind of seems like that is what it is. And B, because, I mean, in all the behind the scenes footage so far that we've seen, Ange is very clearly wearing the same suit. So I was like, don't think the season's starting with her in a new suit. However, the moral dilemma is now the fact that it is true. I have never thought of the fact that, well, if she wears this suit, she will match Rick. And do I want to see them matching? Maybe I do. So maybe I'm changing my mind a
Not the
little
moral
bit. But at the
dilemma.
end of it's an Our Night dilemma. Do I stick true to my belief that the character costume is fine enough as it is, except maybe a slight minor adult. See, the thing is, that's where her parents and Beth can come to a compromise. She could be like, "You can help remodel the suit that I already have, but I don't want another one." And her parents be like, "Okay," and then they settle that way. Because I just it doesn't to me. Beth very clearly does not like the suit. Some people say, "Oh no, she likes it. She just doesn't like the helicopter parenting." And I'm like, it's called Laser Lemon. She don't like that. I just don't think so. But Our Night matching, that would be so cute. So
So
moving
and
along, yeah.
so anyway, so Rick comes along, plops down in a seat.
I like the way that he says hey and they both say hey back. Like it's very organic to, I don't know, it felt like real friends. I liked it.
Obviously I don't even remember what they're talking about. It's unimportant because Cindy.
Oh no, it's because they ask him right away. They're like, "Oh, so it didn't work with Wendy,
Oh,
right?"
you're
And
right.
he's
You're right. You're
like,
right. You're right.
"I tried this, I tried that, and whatever I do,
And
the shade
then
tells me it doesn't
Yolanda
work."
is like, oh, what if the shade lied? Yeah, okay, I do remember that. But anyway, Cindy pops up
I love her
and
entrance. It's
drags
amazing.
her chair, sits down,
Scree
is like,
screeches across the floor.
and I think MVPs of the episode are Cindy and Yolanda for me. I
Oh, yeah.
love their interactions. Every single one of them was so funny, so brutal, so mean girl. I loved it so much. It's that's I love that. I do just like it's fun when people just hate each other. It's
I
fun.
love how she's like, "Welcome back to school, JSA." Like, this girl fully dropped out of school and then came back to school. I bet. I wonder what the rumors are in the rest of the school just about Cindy Berman's academic record and what on earth.
Probably
It's just
something about
funny.
like daddy's money paying it off or something, not knowing that
Maybe.
she no longer has a daddy. But
Right. Yeah. So then she's like, "Well, I guess this table isn't for losers anymore because I'm here." And then you have Brick be like, "This was never a loser's table," which is really nice because it's a callback to the pilot, literally. Or is it episode two? Pilot, I think, where Beth is like, "Oh, we're the losers." And they actually had that in the recap at the beginning of the episode. That she's like, "Oh, well, we're the losers." And he said, "Speak for yourself." But now he's saying it would never was. What a improvement. That is some character development for Mr. Rick
I don't know if
Tyler
it's
there.
development. I think it's the same characterization. However,
It's development from episode one of the pilot where he said, "You're the loser, speak for yourself if you want." And now he's saying it
oh,
never, he said it
I don't think
never
he ever
was the
called her a
loser.
loser. No,
Well,
no, no,
no,
no,
but
no. He never said.
he didn't call her a loser. She called herself a loser and he said, "Speak for yourself," which basically says, if you want to call yourself a loser, go ahead. I'm not. But here he's saying Yolanda and Beth were never losers,
Okay.
which is actually really sweet. Especially because before Yolanda showed up, it was just him and Beth there. So it does call back to the first episode. Yes.
Oh, it for sure calls back. Anyway, so Courtney begins a team meeting. She takes her notes out of her pocket.
I just have to comment that what she says is so out of pocket that it literally comes out of her pocket.
But she addresses that Starman is back from the dead. Immediately everybody's like, "So, what's that like for you? Like, are you like in control of the staff now?" And Courtney's trying to be dismissive about it and is like, "No, it's fine. We worked it out." But
Narrator, it was not fine.
it was not fine.
You completely skipped past the whole clean slate thing, and because that's on Courtney's list. I feel like that's important because the Courtney was like, "Ah, who cares what happened? We have to start from the beginning." And then Cindy says literally the line that I reacted to probably the most, which was the "Get over your trauma already" to
Well, okay,
Yolanda.
yeah.
That
The
was
yeah.
bad.
I get
That's all. I
yeah.
just felt like it was important
If I
to bring. You're
if I
skipping out. I
skip
know. I just
things,
I really,
it's
really, really
because
like
I
that moment.
my notes are only from Oh, I really
Okay.
like that moment too. My
That's why I want to
notes
talk about
are
it.
not in depth. My
Okay.
notes are this. Okay. So like I do have notes. They're just not as good as normally.
Okay. But yeah,
Because I was
I
watching
wanted
the
to bring up
episode for
that
the first
scene.
time.
I wanted to bring up that moment because Courtney is kind of expecting a lot from Yolanda in a way that's like, I feel like they should have a conversation again. Because I don't know, it feels like it's not really fair for your best friend to say to her, "You need to pretend that this girl never did what she did to you." It's just,
Yeah, I don't know what
I'm kind of
Courtney's
surprised that
damage is about that.
they skipped so much because the last time we saw anything, it was Cindy saying, "I know that I have to manipulate you because Courtney's never going to let me join the team
Right.
unless you say it's okay." And
Right.
then they
That
had a whole
was.
vote, and then she voted no. But then Courtney still said yes. And then I guess because it was quote unquote a tie, they haven't, maybe they haven't actually fully made their decision yet. And Cindy's
Well,
just kind of joining along? I don't know. But it's weird to me.
what I thought it was weird is in the first place that Yolanda would bring it up. Because she could very much just not bring it up to Courtney, and then anytime that Cindy comes by, be like, "Oh, we said no, we don't want you here." So it's interesting that she did mention to Courtney that Cindy wanted to join the JSA and that they even had this vote in the first place.
Well, I feel like she would have had no choice. I'm sure Cindy would have otherwise showed up anyway
I
and be
mean,
like,
true,
"I'm
but
joining. Whether you like it or
true.
not, I'm here. I'm not going away until you make me part of the
But
JSA." I'm not sure.
anyway,
I'm sure it's
Pat.
going. Okay, listen. We know that they're still talking about it all the way in episode 4 or 5.
Yeah, like
So,
episode 5-ish, yeah.
no, but the thing is, okay, now I'm not sure if it really is episode, like, it could be episode 4
It's
or 5
true.
because they could be
They've been
wearing the same
manipulating
clothes
footage.
over the span of like a very long
Five
day.
and six is now more confusing. To the listener at home who doesn't know, I've done a very, 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 very in-depth analysis of all the clothing that has been shown on this show in behind-the-scenes footage and promo images so far, bordering on unhinged, I would say, because I was bored over the summer, okay, and I didn't have much to do, and therefore I did that. I'm probably not going to be able to do that ever again because I'm busy, or not ever again, but I'm busy now, so I can't do that. But I did do that, and I was mostly right, I think, with everything. I think there were a couple things that I was confused about with the outfits that they're going to be wearing at the beginning of the next episode, but I did totally put in there that that was the case, that they definitely 100% were wearing outfits into the next episode. That's neither here nor there. The point being is that there's huge parts of episode five that we thought was all episode five, but considering that it's the same director, it's possible that it's the same thing. They're wearing the same clothes into the next episode, and we're actually talking about five and six when in our head it's just five. So,
Yeah,
necessary background.
that's just the background, but I'm sure our listeners appreciated that. Context is so important. Okay.
But yeah, so we get to Pat and Sylvester. I like that at least briefly, Sylvester is appreciative of Pat and
You
is saying, "Look
deserve
at what you
recognition.
did. You should be
I
recognized."
was
Yeah.
so surprised. I didn't expect that. I was like, who is this man? Where did he come from? What happened to this rude man from season one and season two? Not just
Right,
season
right, right.
two. It from the very first scene, he was kind of rude to him. So I'm just like, huh?
Well, later on he's much more characteristic, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the two of them go out and they save a plane, which is besides like the bus scene in episode three of the first season, that's like the only time that I can think of any of these heroes actually saving like an individual group of people that
Well,
just need
presumably
help
they did
randomly.
that also over the summer because that's what it says in the
That's
newspapers.
true. Yeah, that's
It's just
true.
we haven't seen it on screen, and I think it would be really fun, to have a little bit more of random saving just
I mean, I
because.
think that's what they were trying to do with the action scene that we haven't gotten to in this episode, but obviously that's ruined by the fact that Artemis deals with it in 5 seconds. Not that Artemis
Yeah.
could ruin anything,
She doesn't
but
ruin it. She just disrupts the goal
we also
of the
did forget
JSA.
to mention Go Team, Pound Table Woo.
Oh, how did we forget? See, I'm saying like we just sped through that scene. I was like, that scene was like the bulk of my enjoyment.
We did speed through the scene, and it was also the bulk of my enjoyment, but I don't want to have this
We
episode
don't have
be
to go back.
forever.
It's
We'll
fine. We're
just
just
mention that
we
we
are
forgot it.
mentioning it now that we forgot. I'm sure that we'll be able to mention it again in passing when we have another Artemis scene. Next episode, or the episode after that, or
Yeah.
whenever she does show up.
Actually, speaking of Artemis, Paula visits Barbara in the American Dream and basically threatens her and is like, "You have to let Courtney let my daughter into the JSA." Which
That's
that
what
seems like
she
it's going
does.
to further the contention between Courtney and the others
Which
because
I'm sad
they.
about because Paula has points here. The Artemis really isn't. Like,
Artemis
I
was just
didn't.
manipulated. She hasn't
Yeah.
really done anything truly
No, she's
bad.
not bad. I mean, she just likes to play the game.
She didn't want to kill anybody, and she didn't.
She saw a clip that she
And
said, that guy's racist, that's bad news, and ran
that guy
away.
deserves my nothing arrow. My baseball.
She's like, I'm gonna.
I'm
Yeah.
gonna nail that
The only
guy.
thing is when she really did try to. She really did was about to throw the arrow in Beth's face. But she's over now. She wants to be besties now. It's
Live.
fine.
Probably she'd just
Beth
be a
would have
little.
lived.
She was aiming
A
for the
little bit.
goggles, I
She
think,
would have been
so
a
she would
little
have
bit.
gotten the goggles broken, but we've
Potentially
established
a
that
little
she
bit
can fix
blind.
them. So, where did that interface go? Icicle broke those goggles completely. Where is the interface? Is the implication that the interface is stored in the leather? Anyway, we're not talking about
We're not
that
talking about this.
right now. But so
But this is basically on. This is Paula's. Okay, listen. I think, and I'm going to say, that remember, Paula used to work at the school. Okay? She used to work at the school. And This is her tradition. She probably has bullied every single teacher. We know that she's killed football coaches
Ooh, you're
that
right,
wouldn't
you're right.
let Artemis on the team. So I think she's all, the whole thing with Artemis being an honor student. I'm not saying that Artemis isn't smart. I'm sure she is, but I think perhaps there have been occasions where this girl got a grade lower than a C, and she intervened and she said, "No, you're going to make sure that my daughter has a A, and if you don't have a A, then you're going to get transferred." Quote unquote, transferred, and then actually, it's not transferred, it's transferred to the grave because they're dead. So, that was a threat to Barbara because she's
But
done this before.
she has. So we cut back to over to the gambler, who is beginning to write a letter to his daughter. He can't find his daughter anywhere.
Which is
So
noteworthy because the gambler can find pretty much anything he
anybody.
wants.
So
He was
I
able to
think that
find the address for the Whitmore Dukins
right.
just this
So I
episode.
think that the one of the big conspiracies, maybe not conspiracies, but one of the big things that's going to happen is that Becky Sharp is going to be part of the Helix Institute.
The Helix kids, which makes
She's going to
total
be a
sense too,
Helix
because
kid,
she would have been like a quote unquote orphan. Not that she
yeah, she
really
would
was an
have
orphan,
she...
but she would have had to go somewhere to live in a home. Because her mother gave her up
Right,
at
she could have been
from
a quote
birth.
unquote troubled kid. Like, it
And the
makes
thing with
sense.
the Helix specifically is that it had to do with babies also. I know, like, the Helix Institute storyline in the comics, it started from birth. Like, however, with these kids, they were actually, like, Dr. Love really did try to mutate them through their mothers. So this is different, but it's still, like, they wanted the babies to be a certain way. And so in this case, it could be a little bit of deviation from the comic storyline by having baby Rebecca Sharp, brought to the Felix, not Felix, Helix Institute. So she probably grew up there. For all we know, she could be Mr. Bones's daughter. Like, he could have
Like raising,
fo
yeah.
foster father. Yeah. That would be interesting.
Would, yeah. So, but the gambler hears a noise. He goes to check it out, and then, or I don't even know if he goes to check it out with the gun, but at some point he throws his gun away. So you are seeing that he does want to, like, truly make amends, reform, whatever. He was being honest.
That's so sad of
We cut
him.
back over to Pat and Sylvester, who have come back home. They stayed out way too late. Pat has not made them dinner, and apparently they
Because
didn't like make a pizza or
they
anything
were
like that.
hangry.
Or like they didn't buy a pizza to get delivered. Like they were like,
Mike is
no.
a growing boy. He needed his meal, and that's why he was so mad. Because at first I was like, wow, Mike is really pulling a Pat here with a disappointed father kind of look that he had going on. And then I realized, this is a teenage boy with no food. Clearly, his Pop-Tarts could not sustain him that night.
He's not
So
growing the
he was
Pop-Tarts,
mad.
please. He's a member of the Justice Society of America.
Oh, excuse me, my bad. I'm sure Jakeem still eats Pop-Tarts.
I'm not talking about Jakima.
Oh, we're
I'm
talking
talking
about
about
Michael Dugan. All right,
Michael
all right,
Dugan.
all right, all
Mr. Big
right.
Shot Michael Dugan. I did want to say that I really did enjoy the parallels of Pat and Sylvester coming back and breaking promises with Courtney versus when Courtney first started coming back late and breaking promises with Pat. I did really like that.
So
I
true.
thought that was a fun little role reversal that they
I
did.
also, when we actually got the scene of Stripe and Starman, it was so refreshing to see Stripe back in action again, like fully
Yes.
flying and
Yes.
everything. It's been a long time, and it looked so good. There was also, I don't know if you caught that, but there was something written on like the back of the boot of Stripe. I
I
didn't
did see
catch what
that.
it.
I didn't read what it said, but
It was
yeah.
very. It seemed to like there was something about that because the camera focused on it, so I don't. Oh well, we'll figure it out later.
We can, yeah.
But yeah, it was really
But
cool to see it fly again.
so Courtney goes downstairs, presumably while Pat is making dinner, and confronts Starman about why he's really here, and Starman does admit that he was back for the staff and that he does see that the staff clearly does have a connection with Courtney, but that he doesn't want to give it up entirely. And the two of them basically come to an agreement that any time that Courtney is in school, he's allowed to have it, but any time not, any time that she's out of school. It's hers.
That's rough because how many times has she had to run out of school to use the staff? Like a lot.
A lot. I mean, I imagine that this is going to be a constant source of tension between the two of them. I thought that Sylvester and Pat were going to be frenemies, but now I recognize it's more so Courtney and Sylvester are definitely their main pair of frenemies.
I think it's going to be tough for her because Pat is so happy to have Sylvester back that it's like she's going to have to fight not only Sylvester but also Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be hard for her because she loves Pat so much.
Well,
she's
I would be like, I don't know if she's going to be fighting Pat. I think Pat's ultimately to be on her side.
Sure, eventually. But I think at first, I feel like she's going to feel bad because he's going to be so happy that Sylvester's there because it's like back to their old good old days. And she kind of has to burst his bubble, you know? I feel like that might be upsetting for her because she cares about not hurting people's feelings.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. But so she gets a call from Beth, who is like, there's the No Limit Gang. They are here and they're causing trouble.
No,
and we gotta go.
Limit Gang with so dollar signs as the little symbol.
They gather everybody, including Cindy. So she was invited. And they're about to deal with this, but they don't actually get to see any action. Because at that moment, Artemis comes in. Artemis was not invited. The implication is that she was stalking around. And Cindy's pretty happy on Artemis's behalf that she just absolutely showed up and went off. But
my joke is that Paula saw the JSA like suiting up and like running across town, and then she was like, "Go, girl, go get them! You're faster than them!" And then like she suited her up and she's like, "Go, go, go! Join them!" And then she showed up there first. Because she's athletic like that. It's fun.
I love that she gives the guy that's like tied up a little noogie and is like,
yeah.
I love that. What was the point, Artemis?
And also the fact that she did Artemis 1, bad guy 0 again, like throwback to 206.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what she did it.
No, I know.
Jock
I know.
1. Yeah. I really, really want at one point Beth to have a little frenemies moment with Artemis and be like, Nerd 1, Jock 0, or something like that.
What would be Nerd 1, Jock 1? I think that's funnier, okay, honestly, is that she retains the score.
The score from last time. Oh, from last time. Oh, you're right.
She's like, I am not better than you, but I am on the same level.
I'm on the same level. Oh, yeah, I like that. That's fun.
But so we cut back to the pit stop, and there's a lot that's going on here again, because once again, this is a very similar sort of deal where I know I'm going to forget things.
I love this scene so much.
To the cafeteria.
I just have to say, in terms of just how the visuals of the scene, like usually pit stop scenes are really, you know, dark and you're looking at them and you're like, oh, it's dark in here. But it's just the lighting, the costumes. I just really loved everything about how the scene looks.
Mm-hmm.
And the JSA all being huddled together. And they're also very not noticeable, but very important to note. This is the first time that we're seeing like post-JSA situation in which they're still half in their costume, they're still half not. So we have Yolanda with the
cowl. Is it the first time?
For Beth, it is, because it's
for
the first
Beth
time
and
that we've
Yolanda,
seen
I think it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It's the first time that we've seen Beth in her suit without the cowl and without the gloves, but with the goggles on. And I have to say, it looks so much better like this. Like, I love that look. And Yolanda's hair looked amazing. Like, they just all looked so good. I just love it. So,
yeah.
On to actual content.
But, so Cindy's there. She's still picking fights. Yolanda still can't stand her. Rick is like, nobody, people don't change. Gambler is totally guilty and is in charge of this No Limit Gang.
Our night moment.
Doesn't trust
his hands were on
Cindy.
Her chair.
I know.
That's all I'm going to say, though.
I don't know. I don't really know if I have anything else to say about it.
Oh,
I just,
about
that was
that
a
whole
fun
scene?
What am I missing? There's something that happened that I'm missing.
Well, No, the most
Oh, just
iconic
the alcohol
part with the
interaction, yeah.
alcohol interaction when Cindy's like, well, we can
Sure.
have it at my house because I have wine. And Rick goes, you don't drink on the job. And then Beth goes, we don't drink. We're not 21. And then you just have Rick's silence. That, remember, season
Day
one,
drinking Rick.
Rick
Alcohol
fully had a
Rick.
whole business delivering cakes to
I made that
Cindy's
joke
own
before, I'll make
parties.
it again.
Rick was the one that delivered the alcohol to Cindy's party in season one. Like, it's his whole, that's how he made his money. So it's like, it's just so funny that he's just keeping his mouth shut. He's like, I'm not gonna say a word. Gotta respect that.
We have a heart to heart scene. Is it a heart to heart? It's like a reverse heart to heart scene with Pat and Sylvester, where Pat is
Reverse
or sorry,
heart to heart.
Sylvester is saying that Pat
I
should
don't
be
remember what
his
happened in the scene.
sidekick again. Well, that was the
Oops.
main takeaway, was that
It's like they were
Sylvester was
just,
saying. And
and
it's
they
such
were
a
like
weird thing because
equals.
they literally just were equals 2 seconds
I
ago.
know, they were
So
just
it's like
equals.
old patterns die hard.
I
That's
guess.
not the saying, but I'm tired.
I like that saying.
I will
Say
I
it.
will say that another thing that's absolutely 100% not going to be a thing, but that I would like to believe is one of those early season throwaway lines is when Pat gives Sylvester the beer and he's like, ice cold, just how you like it. So I'm taking that as Cameron will freeze Sylvester to death. Wild theory, but like, he was like partially responsible for Sylvester's death in the comics, so like,
Well, we know that in
sure.
episode 6 that Barbara and Pat are going to the Mike Kent house, so maybe Starman does try to help,
I don't think
and
that he,
maybe
no,
that happens
he's gonna
there.
make it, he's in the
Maybe
finale,
the
I'm pretty sure.
grandparent. Well, I know, but he what if he gets frozen or whatever, and then he just has a hypothermia? I want hypothermia
I
so
know you really
bad.
want the hypothermia arc. I think it would be fun, but I don't need, it's not the number one priority
It's like
for
number
me.
two for me. I just
Oh
need it.
my God.
It's so stupid too.
But
I'm just
yeah,
like,
no.
hypothermia.
I just have a
Okay.
note that says that Sylvester is going to ruin everything, and that's
Oh
true.
yeah. Oh my.
He's totally
You
going
can
to cause
quote us on
so
that.
many more problems, and I can appreciate that about his character, is that he's only here to be an issue.
I mean, why would you add a man to your little kitty group if not to cause problems? Pulling girls out of school, yelling at neighbors
Oh,
across the
yeah, because
street
that
for a
is
house you
happening
don't
tomorrow,
even
yeah.
own,
Yeah.
starting a brawl in the grocery store. I mean, just if you're
Yeah,
going to
he's.
exist, you better exist badly. Like,
What? What does that even
because
mean?
he came back to life, so I said if he's gonna come back, at
Oh.
least do it badly. Tired.
I'm
I
tired
really
too. I
said
sound like a
exist
Wookiee kissing me on it.
badly.
Okay. Gambler is back in his trailer. He finally gets through. He sees that it's like an encrypted source or whatever, and notices that he hacks into some cameras that are all over Blue Valley.
He's like,
And he
what?
sees one that's outside of his trailer, so clearly somebody's been watching him. It's absolutely Mr. Bones and the Helix Institute. There's
Yeah,
no
I think
mystery
it
in
has
that.
nothing to do with even the murder itself. Like, I think he just happened to
Oh,
notice
you think
that.
that they're two separate
I think they're
things?
two separate things. I think that he just happened to know because he's the hacker. He's the first one who would notice. Like, he's like, this thing is attacking me. How peculiar. But the person that was like looming in the shadows, that was the murderer, and that's a whole separate issue. It's
Okay.
just that they kind of interlocked.
I was taking it as he knew too much and was therefore he had to
Oh,
go. And
he had to go.
if Todd can teleport, which I believe he can,
Well,
then he should be able to pop up. No, it was nighttime, so he should be able to pop in at night, no problem.
I hope not, because that means that Beth would be in quite a lot of danger otherwise, because she could very presumably be the next to access those
Well,
cameras
they're
with
going to be
her
finding the
powers.
laptop. That's like the whole next thing for the promo,
I'm
is that
sure.
they're saying that if you find the laptop, you can find the killer. And I don't think that we're going to
Oh.
get that until episode three. Is
Well,
episode three the evidence?
in episode 4 is the one with the evidence, and that's
So
where
that's
Beth
when
is
they're
the
going to
one, which
find the
makes
laptop,
total
I presume.
sense because she's the hacker. So yeah, and then so they got to go back to the scene of the crime, and oh, we're seeing how it all comes together.
We're
We're super
mystery
sleuths.
solvers. We
We're
are.
Nancy Drew.
Never mind the fact that Adib is dead and we don't know.
Oh, we don't know where
We're
she
no,
is.
we're ignoring that
Adiba?
one.
We still currently do not know where this girl is. She's probably sleeping.
I hope she's asleep.
I hope.
But she's
Girl,
not
wherever you are, I
us.
Hope you're having a good time.
Girlie, I hope you're listening back to this. And if you're not, sorry. But anyway, gambler grabs the gun, walks outside, gets murdered.
I was so scared. I was actually scared because I was expecting to see him get shot on screen, and I was waiting for it, and they were just taking forever. I did, because he's shot people on screen in season one. So
but there was no blood. It wasn't like violent.
No, but
I
wasn't.
Like that.
No, it wasn't about that. It was about the anticipation of waiting for it to happen.
Okay, sure.
For me, so I thought they were just taking forever and forever, and then it never even happened on screen. So I was like, wow, I was scared for nothing.
No, there's like a Solomon Grundy sound, but I don't think it's Solomon Grundy. And then
no,
if that is genuinely Todd, that's like screaming like a monster.
That's
before,
so funny.
That's very funny. But
Seb.
Yeah, so Courtney and co decide that they're going to investigate basically at that moment, and they stumble across, they hear the gunshot, they run over, they find Cindy with the gun. Before they do that, Courtney does mention that she believes that the gambler is turning over a new leaf because, quote, the gambler of all people is a better dad than mine ever was, which
ouchie.
Courtney Savage hours.
So you also have like Rick very firmly being like, we're gonna beat this guy up, and Beth being like, oh, we should talk, and you know, so you know it's absolutely set up that you have the Beth and Court on team belief innocent till proven guilty, and then you're gonna have Rick and Yolanda on the guilty till proven innocent kind of dichotomy in terms of this murder mystery. That's what I think at the beginning, at least. But I actually really think that Beth is going to change her mind halfway through the season, and she's going to be like, some people, she's like, I'm not giving them that second chance, which I think would be really interesting. But yeah, so I like the way that they had to set it up, that Yolanda and Courtney were talking in the beginning, I mean in the front, and you have like Rick and Beth also in the back. You can't actually hear what Rick and Beth are talking about, but I'm going to assume that she was still trying to convince him that, like, okay, don't beat him up, let's like wait for him talk first.
But yeah,
also
the final...
still they're doing this, and it's a trailer park. I'm going to assume that other people at the trailer park saw.
Yeah, there has to be a
scenes.
Lot of witnesses.
There has to be lots of, but like,
and they have to see them all dressed up. Yeah,
all dressed up. So I think, yeah, I'm like, how is that? And also, I remember specifically one of the behind the scenes or like previews mentioned, or I think it was Breck herself mentioned, that there's going to be a lot of distrust in the community because of this murder, which means that the whole town
is
going to
thing,
know
yeah.
about it. It's very public.
Ooh, yes. I said it. I said that it was going to be very public, and then recognized my own words that were forming out of my mouth.
That's so funny.
But
remember,
yes.
That makes sense again with the opening, because it showed the whole town and Blue Valley as a community and how cohesive they are.
Yeah,
this, I think, is really going to tear. I think, yes, and I think you can even explain how Yolanda's family is going to take this, because they're going to be like, Yolanda, you can't be sneaking out. There's a murderer on the loose,
sure,
et cetera,
sure,
et cetera.
Sure,
right?
Sure,
so, like,
sure,
I can
sure.
see how all of this is slowly coming together, in the sense that it doesn't just tear apart the JSA. Like, it's the whole town is kind of going to implode over this, because they're going to be upset. But I mean, is it funny that they're going to be so upset over this one murder as opposed to all the people who just dropped dead in season one at the end of Project New America? Yes. But do
bit.
I
but
mind?
That's like a freak of nature
no,
thing versus...
because
they thought that it was like some
sure.
weird thing.
Sure. Maybe people are going to connect weird stuff that has happened in previous seasons and be like, oh, and what about Isaac? He's gone missing too. And what about Anaya? Blah, 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 blah. And what about Jordan McKent? He just disappeared. Like, that would actually be sick if, like, the town comes together. And then the JSA
that.
Would start freaking out because they're like, okay, they're on to us, they're on to
we
us.
Gotta
we have
cover
to solve this murder.
Yeah,
we gotta
of,
cover
yeah.
our tracks.
Yeah.
That would be really fun, especially because Courtney otherwise has been so obvious. So now she
right,
has to kind of
right.
be, like,
so she has to be like,
laid back and secretive.
Perhaps.
See? I really hope that's what
smart.
It is.
Let's be smart about
be
this.
Super smooth. Star Squad, we're detectives.
Yes. And then obviously the ending is Cindy with the gun. I didn't do it.
Okay, also, can we just talk about the fact
that...
Why
does she make her sound like that? That's not what she sounds.
I'm just mocking her. I'm sorry, Cindy Berman, but I'm gonna mock you a lot, just the way that you speak. I'm not trying to impersonate her. I'm just mocking her. But can we talk about one last thing in terms of the whole gun thing? Do we think that she picked it up because it fell on the floor and she picked it up, or if it was actually in his hand?
I don't
Because
know.
it's dumb of
I think
her to
that's
pick that
gonna
up.
I
That's going
think
to
that
ruin
she's not that
evidence.
stupid.
But she
I
kind
think
of
she's going to be a
looks like
forensic
she is.
scientist. I think that's what the whole stuff with her in the chemistry lab
Oh,
is. It's got to be
really?
like forensic
She's like proving
science.
herself
It's got to be fake forensic science, but I think it's probably
fake,
going to be forensic
totally
science.
fake, Dragon King-esque. But so for me, I guess the question is, we hear that gunshot only when the JSA, experience their side of the
Well,
crime, not.
clearly it's not. Clearly, cause of death is not the
Do you.
gunshot. It's
No, I
whatever
don't
ruined the
know.
trailer.
Right, so do you think that the gun just went off when he got attacked, which makes. Because you see how much damage is in the trailer.
Well,
To me, it
sure.
makes. Like, or he tried to
I
shoot
think
whoever. Yeah.
either the gun is a complete red herring that was shot by the murderer after the
On purpose.
fact.
Oh, interesting.
Either it was a misfire that just happened after he
If this
died,
is
but I think
all
that's
Todd's mastermind, I gotta stan this boy. He's so smart.
or wait, I think I was acting like there are three things, but
It
I
was
think those are the
Grundy
only
and
two
he
things.
actually did that. He's like,
No,
oh, let me pull the trigger to make it seem like it wasn't me.
I
Grrr,
think I just
our
meant two
friend.
things and I pretended like I had a third. I think it's either A, Todd doing it deliberately to throw
I
people
love,
off,
I
or
stan this
B,
child.
misfire. But it can't be anything
Oh,
else.
remember how I said before that I think that Jenny's going to finally meet her brother and, she's going to be like, oh no, this isn't actually what I pictured or imagined or wanted my brother to actually
Sure,
be.
yeah.
That would go so much harder if he really was the murderer of what's happening in Blue Valley. And also, we haven't mentioned the fact that Mr. Rice is in Blue Valley
Yes, we
from
did.
season
Well,
two,
I
and
think
they
we
didn't
mentioned
bring.
that in season
Oh,
two of our
we
show,
haven't
but
mentioned it in the
not.
context of season three, that it was never brought up. So let's keep our ears and eyes
Yeah, for
open
any mentions of
for any
something
mention of
Rice, James
that,
Rice.
especially if there's going to be more victims. That's the question. Like, do you think that it's going to be a serial killer, or it's just like a one and done?
I think it's a one and done. I also think that the mystery is going to be solved bef like 3 or 4 episodes before the season ends. I know that obviously this is the theme of the season is like very whodunit, but I don't think because I think that they're going to delve into a bigger conspiracy with the
Right.
Helix Institute,
Right.
and that is going to become more of the central mystery. And then there's going to be like one or two, maybe 3 or 4 episodes at the end of the season that don't necessarily fit within the broader category that they've set up for themselves. Like the last episode of season two, for example, does not feel like a horror movie. It's absolutely
No.
not a horror movie. I don't think that they're going to do that for the finale of this season. I think it's going to be much more standard Stargirl, and by standard Stargirl, I mean Stargirl season one. And honestly, when I was watching this for the first time, I didn't feel like it was that much different from season one. Now I do get the vibes. Like watching it again, I was like, oh, okay, this is definitely very different. Like certainly different from
Oh, it
season
is
two.
definitely different.
It honestly feels more the difference between one and two in terms of how they shot it and how they like just how everything is like directed. I feel like it's more different between three one and three than one and two. Like that difference. Like that's
Oh,
it's much
it's
more of a
very
form
different.
break.
And
But
episode, I mean, season three is just different about everything. Like,
and I really
the
wasn't expecting it
shots.
that much. I
It's so
wasn't expecting
good,
it to
though.
be
It's
that
amazing.
different. I kind of yeah. So
I love it.
I do really like it.
Whoever has any part of this show, you deserve, a congrats and a clap because it's great. We're happy.
We're
We're
happy and
really,
it's
as fans, we're really,
1:45
really
a.m.
happy. I know. So we
Yes. Yes. No, I once again, I probably sound very monotone because I'm trying to be relatively quiet, but I am very happy with this episode. This episode was, in my opinion, better than most of season two. Honestly, it was better than a decent amount of season one episodes as well. Like, this is definitely,
it's
if the
good.
rest of the season is this quality, like, we're set.
And also, the pace really is like 2X13. in terms of just it's fast as well. Like it's slow, but
I
it's
wouldn't say that
fast.
it's I wouldn't say that it's as fast,
No,
but
not as
it's
fast at all. But
certainly, I
it
think they
matches.
learned their
It's
lesson
not as
from season two.
slow as season two. Like season two, the premiere, people like that one really was a lot slower paced than this one.
Yeah, nothing happens in the season two premiere. Like, basically nothing happens. So this is,
The way
I
that
like this
actually
better.
what they did with the montage is basically what they did in season two, episode
The
one.
entire first,
The
yeah.
entire montage, like the montage, just basically served the same purpose, and that it was more fun, in my opinion.
No, I liked the montage, the use of the montage better. Yeah. But anyway,
Yeah.
is there anything that we really have to say about the promo? Like, I guess we should at least
No.
address it. The promo's
Oh, the
basically, it's
shade.
basically all shots of the training, and then there's like a Shade and Starman altercation,
Sylvester
and that's basically
altercation.
it.
We're gonna have to call it something other than altercation because that has to stay specifically for Ice Hour drama.
Yeah, it's the alt-rication. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Ice Hour might start next week, so everybody clapped.
Okay, we're gonna see Cameron. So Cameron's been missing this entire episode, and we know that apparently his grandparents were in this episode, but they were cut out. So I'm going to guess that they were in the montage.
I would imagine, I believe there was an interview with
I feel
the
like,
two grandparents
yeah, it
actors
would have been
that
odd.
said that they looked through like the window of like a diner, I think. The only thing that I could maybe understand that being is like Cameron is inside interacting with,
Yeah.
like, maybe he's with, no, because the Shade and Maria was
But who
after the
would
thing.
he have
I don't
been
know who
with?
he
It
would
doesn't
have
make sense
been
to me.
with.
No, I
It
understand why they
doesn't,
cut
I
it because
understand
he
why they
has
cut
no
it.
friends. The only thing that could have
No, he
worked
doesn't.
is if he was just back in the art room with the teacher and like
Yeah.
just there before school starts, which is kind of lame of him. You don't
Yeah.
want a leading man to just be like at school before school even starts and just talking to his teacher who should be on his vacation. Right?
Yeah, no,
Also,
I
without
don't.
any dialogue, it's going to be weird,
It,
right?
yeah,
Like,
no,
because
there's.
you can't just like give us 3 seconds of
Friendly with
Cameron backstory.
teachers. You can be
No, no, no.
friendly
What
with
I
teachers, but like.
no, I mean like you can't have the grandparents and Cameron show up for literally 3 seconds and have them say something and then expect us to just be okay with that
I mean, that's
three-second
basically what they
interaction.
did with Cameron in general.
I know,
Cameron
but you
has
can, but
not
no
had
longer. We
a
will
full
not
30
accept it
minutes of screen
anymore.
time.
That might have
I
been the
really
status
need to
quo
emphasize
for
that.
two seasons.
I well
But no, we cannot
I know
accept
they're
that
shaking it up.
anymore.
They're
You've
Disney
got to
Channel
shake
shaking
that
it
up
up, starring
like
Zendaya
Disney
and
Channel
Bella Thorne. But
Zendaya and Bella Thorne. That's right. But Cameron is not going to be getting 3 seconds of screen time per episode. No, he is Courtney's leading man. He needs to step it up and actually be in the show for several long minutes, right?
I would imagine that they're
Yeah.
going there's going to be a couple episodes that are going to be close to 205, because
Oh, yeah.
I did, when I say that he has less than 30 minutes of screen time, I literally mean that I counted it, because I knew that
She
there wasn't
did.
much of it and it took not even 30 minutes out of my day. But yeah, no, the vast majority of it, if you're going to pin it down to an episode, was in 205, and I think that was like a good half of it. That was like 15 minutes of it. I think I might be wrong. It might only be 10, but even still, it's like that's a significant amount. So if he's in like 10 full minutes of an episode a couple times, like it's
What's
basically his entire, and then even if he's just in the background of other, like, it literally, you just need to feature him, like feature him, not just have him in it, but like feature him in two episodes and he will double his screen time.
what's interesting to me is the fact that I'm so surprised that of all the footage that we saw so far, like actually 90% of it was all from the first episode, and I was so sure that they were showing us footage from actually like episodes like 3, 4, 5.
Well, I think
So
all
we
the
did
training
get,
stuff is three. All
well,
basically
that,
all the stuff with the Crocs is,
yeah,
or
but all,
sorry. The
not
training stuff
all
is
of, like a
basically
lot
two.
of.
Basically all the stuff with the Crocs is three. Because, like, they're
That's
going to be
not that
baking
much.
in
They showed
two.
us quite a bit, and I really did think that it was like episodes 2 and 3, like the Artemis stuff, and just in general, quite a bit of the stuff that we saw did
This
come from this
is.
episode.
Maybe it's the clothing analysis that I did, but this is par for the course. No, this was much more exciting than I thought the first episode was going to be because I was getting a little worried doing my clothing analysis where I was like,
You can't
these
base
scenes do
things off
not
clothes
seem
analyses.
that spicy based off of their clothes.
Now, come
Wait, wait,
on.
wait, wait, wait. That's bad
No.
phrasing. That's bad phrasing.
That's
That's bad phrasing.
no.
I meant like they don't seem
She
that
thought
interesting
because they
because
were
they're
wearing
just
the
in the
same
same.
clothes, it meant that apparently nothing fun was going to happen, and that
I
logic
meant,
makes no sense.
I know that it doesn't make any sense, but
It doesn't make any sense.
listen to me.
Just because Rick
I
has
thought it
a
was going to
collar with
mostly.
some flannel on it instead of just a solid brown collared
I'm
shirt
not
when he sits
talking.
in the
Listen,
cafeteria doesn't mean that there's no
Tam,
showdown going on between Courtney and
stop.
Cindy and Yolanda,
What
right?
my point was that there was so many Courtney and Sylvester outfits, or like so many Courtney outfits and
So
no other
true.
JSA outfits that I thought that it was mostly going to be Courtney and Sylvester. And I was correct. But that didn't mean that the scenes outside of the core four JSA were boring. I was worried because I thought there was only going to be two scenes of the core four JSA.
Oh, and
And
that's
there
not
were
true.
three.
So yay. Okay, well. But while you're still on the topic of costumes, I really liked the cropped hoodie that they had Courtney in with her suit. I think it looks
I do like that.
really
I think
fun.
that's the what
It
they
looks
have from
really
season one,
well.
but yeah, I
I
do
don't
like.
remember it, but it looks a lot better. I don't know, it's just more vibrant. But I
I
just
think
really love
she's
the
just
color.
wearing it more frequently, but she wore it when Joey died, I think, and she wore
I
it
thought that was a
when
long, like a, I just, this is the first, well, she was sitting down, so maybe that's why, and
she
she's
wore it when
actually
she's
standing up
talking to
here.
Pat about how the JSA didn't listen to her in 106. But
I
yeah.
just, it looks better now, for some reason.
I think it's just more dynamic. Anyway, I think we've about
We're
covered. I think
done.
we've about
Yeah.
exhausted, dare I say. We've talked for more than the episode is, so we've hit our
We did.
quota in terms of can we analyze a piece of content longer than the piece of content? Answer always. Yes, we
Yes, we
can.
can.
You can follow the show at
I
Star
am able to do
Squadcast.
that.
Stop, stop, stop. You can follow the show at Star Squadcast on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. You can follow me, Cameron, on Tumblr at Blue Valley Breaking News. You can follow me on Twitter. Previously, you could follow me at CleanUp00, and you totally could if you want to, but I now have a Stargirl dedicated Twitter. Everybody clapped. So, it's at Ice Hour Night. So, priorities are
Cool.
there.
And I'm Tam, and you can find me on Twitter as well at TKV dash hour
There's no
night with an
dash.
S. There's
There's no
no
dash.
dash. I'm
You've been
wrong.
saying I couldn't
I'm not
find you
on
when I
Twitter
looked.
that I'm not on Twitter that often, so listen.
I
I'll
looked
say
you
that
up
again.
with my
That's so
new
sad.
Twitter and
I
I was
really thought there was a
like,
dash.
there's
I
no
thought there was a dash. I couldn't find you either. And I was like, that's so weird. I hope that I'm like tagging not some other random hour night, ice hour night. Anyways, okay, so restart. I'm Tam.
No,
Find me on
we're
Twitter.
keeping in the
Oh, we're
you
keeping it in
really
my embarrassment?
weird.
What are you
You,
doing?
because, yes, Tam, because you said TKV dash hour nights every single episode. We have to
This is
emphasize
so
that you were
sad.
wrong. Daddy, this is so sad, but
Sometimes
yeah.
I can be wrong. This is one of those times. I'm
There is no
sorry. Well, you can
dash.
find me at That Killer Vibe on Instagram. I'm not making a mistake there.
And your Tumblr. Don't forget that.
Yeah, that too. Our nights with the
Wow. If Adiba is still alive, you can follow her at Gert Starlight. But like we said, we don't know where she is. Anyway, this podcast episode, a little messy. And
And
that's
if you have
okay.
questions for us, send them in because we would like to
We'll
hear your.
always take a question. I don't know if we're going to be
Yeah.
really able to answer them, though, considering
No,
that.
but we would like to hear them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We gotta
Yeah.
end this. We have to end
Yeah.
this. This is an atrocity.
No. We're so funny, though.
Have a wonderful day, probably. You'll probably listen to this
Probably.
day, honestly, but it might be
Good
night.
day, like the gambler.
Good
Okay.
day, sir.
Good day, Mr. Dugan.
Stay safe out there. We gotta end this. Good night. Bye.
Goodbye.